Your presence here with us today, as we can tell, there's a lot of white stuff on the ground, so we might have been expecting a few more today, but that might change some things. So, again, I'm just hoping that if we see some people that we expected to see today, that we can lift them up in prayer for safety as people are traveling today. There is an event going on today that may have some people celebrating and some people mourning at the end of the night, but either way, there's a lot of consumption of alcohol and things like that, so I guess should we just remember when we're sitting down for wherever we are this afternoon that the roads are safe with people at the conclusion or during the game today. Just one of those moments when we can never stay prayed up enough when there's other people and influences on the road today. Anyone else have any prayer requests? Our gentlemen are in the corners. If you have any other prayer requests or concerns you'd like to lift up.
Thank you. We would like some prayers for an 11-month-old baby girl named Taylor from Peck. She was injured in an accident, and she has bleeding on the brain in two spots. She has a broken skull and a broken collarbone. She's been in the hospital since Thursday, and she was just taken off the ventilator, so she's doing better, but still, we would like some prayers for her.
For Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Tina's got one? All right.
if we could have prayers for Mason this time. He goes in on Thursday to have his whole system taken care of, tubes, tonsils, adenoids. So hopefully after all of this, we have some very healthy children that can just give you even more. So,
as she says lovingly, this time it's the other twin that we're looking for. Okay. No, absolutely. Thank you for Mason this week. Okay, Thursday. Anyone else? Okay. Do we have any announcements that aren't printed in the worship order? Okay. Well, Karen's coming up. I'll go ahead and just highlight one that's already there, is we do have our birthday potluck the first Sunday of the month today, so we do have some people that dropped some things off. We're looking forward to that fellowship, so if you can stay, or maybe if you weren't prepared to stay and you can stay, we invite you to do that. It's a great time for us to celebrate and spend some time together.
I know everyone has been asking how we did in the finances at the end of the year. Gayla has made a printout. We were going to put it in the newsletter, but we decided against that. But there is some sheets out and back by the bullet or the newsletter. So if you're interested, pick some up. If they're gone and we need more, please let me know and I will have Mary make some more for us. Thank you.
The middle table in the back there.
I guess I need a new nickname called Linton Linda because I'm here. Here are a couple of things. First of all, this is the Lenten devotional sign-up sheet. You can see, those of you close here can see that it's all filled up. But every name isn't yellowed out yet. We're still waiting for about 5 devotionals, and the book will be ready to be proofed and go to press. The goal is to have it available at the Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper and then available in the sanctuary during the prayer vigil, and then others can pick it up the following Sunday. So thank you all for writing and sharing some of your moments with God. There's, as always, very powerful ones. And then the second announcement also involves Lent. It's the Lenten prayer vigil that we have starting right after the Pancake Supper at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, going through the Ash Wednesday service at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. The ushers will start the clipboard over on this side because it didn't get there last week. But last week, we have more than half the slots filled after the first Sunday. And so go ahead and get that filled up so that we can experience our faith together as being part of a 24-hour prayer vigil in this congregation. We've been doing this for more than 25 years. And for those of you who haven't done it or don't know what it's all about, take a look at the February newsletter. Somebody in our congregation who maybe reluctantly participated in one several years ago, talks about what a moving part of her life it was. So take a look at that and consider whether you want to spend a half hour with God in this sanctuary space. Thank you.
All right, anyone else? Do you have any birthdays this week? No birthdays? Anniversaries? No? Okay. We don't get to use the song this week then. Okay. For our time together, there are so many announcements and things and prayers that we lift up to prepare ourselves, but now in this moment, we bring in and settle ourselves down for this moment of worship. We'll ask for the choir to lead us in that sacred space. Can we stay in that moment of sacred prayer, and would you join me in asking the Lord to bless our time together today? Almighty God, in those words that prepared us, faithfully we come, sure and certain of your presence in this place, preparing it for us, working within us while we are gathered here today, Lord, and that your presence will always be enough to fulfill us as we leave from this place, eagerly looking after you. Would you open our hearts to the words and the moments that you would have us observe today, Lord? Would they touch us, stir us, and stay with us? Lord, we'd ask that you'd take joy in all that is said and done in this place and fulfill us in your Holy Spirit. In Christ's powerful name we pray. Amen. In this moment, I'd ask for you to stand if you're able, and we'll sing together the purpose of our church, the mission of all of us. 571, go, make of all disciples. Number 571, go, make of all disciples. Amen. That great moment of hope and purpose, you may be seated. As we find our seats, we'll again lift our voices to sing, Be Still My Soul, number 534, Be Still My Soul. So many things going on in our life. It's interesting to look in the big and the small, the fast, the quick, the slow, whatever situation befalls us, to calm ourselves and look for the Lord in the midst of it all. We ask our children to come up today. Do we have any kids? Riley, are you the only one today? Do you want to come up? Yeah? All right. Well, Mom, maybe you can join her up. You want to come up and do the thing? All right. Well, Riley, if there's one thing that we love about you is that you're becoming quite a leader amongst all of our kids downstairs. I'm going to ask the congregation a question just so maybe we can see if anybody else is seeing the same thing I am. Because you can see a lot of things up here, right, during the service, but you can't see a whole lot of things out there. Just like sometimes I can see some things out there that sometimes I can't see behind me, right? But I want to ask the congregation a question now that we just have Riley up here with us today. Well, Miss Aaron, but we have Riley up here today. How many of you noticed that, you know, Riley kind of came to church like this, but all of a sudden now she's helping out some kids. She's being quite the servant leader downstairs. She's being an ace helper downstairs with Sunday school, and it seems like whatever kiddos are running around, we always kind of got, can I use the term Mother Hen Riley, kind of taking after them and herding them together. And so we're thankful for the taller you get, because that means your arms are longer to gather in all the kids that are running around. And I would just ask, could maybe we just, if we've seen Riley showing some leadership and helping take care of some of the kiddos in there, I'm going to have her turn around. Could you just put your hand in the air if you've seen her around the church at some point helping out with the kids? Riley, could you take a look back and just see how many people have seen you taking care of some kids and walking around doing some things? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, maybe in one of those moments, hey, guys, come on up. Good to see you again, right? Different place, right? Different time. Good to see you guys. And so we're thankful for that. And it's interesting because the more that you do, right, in service of the Lord, and when you show that you're really good at doing it, people are going to ask more of you. Did you know that? It's kind of one of those things when you do a really good job, people will say, hey, Riley, you did so good with those kids that we got to ask you to do something more, right, Mom? So she's probably going to get more responsibility the more she does. And this is that moment when I'd ask us for the last week, kids, that you joined us up here. We've been trying to focus on a scripture for the last month or so, that's Psalm 56:3. Do you remember what that is, Riley? When I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. That's pretty easy to remember, isn't it? Now, do you think it's just as easy for us to remember that when we are afraid? Do you think that when you think about the scripture, you'll be able to remember that maybe when you're afraid to call on Jesus' name and ask him to help you through it? That seems like a pretty good one to respond, doesn't it? And so when we come into different places and spaces, we're reminded that when we're afraid, when we feel our fear getting up on us, that we ask the Lord to help us through that, okay? And we trust that the Lord won't leave us alone. So let's go ahead and get in our prayer positions for the things that we'll experience and the responsibilities will be given to continue to serve the Lord in his name. Let's get our prayer positions. Fold our hands and close our eyes and bow our heads. And you guys can say these words after me, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and showing us how to become more like you. Let us not walk in fear, but trust in you always. Bless everyone gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we have a couple of new additions to us at the last minute. But this is Miss Erin. This is our Sunday school teacher, representatives, superintendent, all those things. But you're the leading us downstairs, right, for the kids learning. So if you'd like to follow her, she'll be Miss Riley will be carrying the flag. And there's a spot downstairs, Mrs. Goff, for your for the kids to go downstairs and have their own time of learning. Is that okay? Thank you. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. We are thankful for that moment, and as the kids are making their way down, you know, it's a unique opportunity when obviously we'd like to be flocked by some kids, but sometimes things change. But I really hope that you would take that opportunity that we were able to affirm a little bit in Riley, that we've really watched her grow up. And if you see her out and around the church, it's one of those moments where if you know Riley and you know the family, they're not doing it for attention. But if you see that she's doing something that kind of shows how much we can count on her, would you just pass along a message of encouragement to her? Because she's going to be one of our future leaders as she continues to age and grow up in here. And she needs to know that this is a place that's going to continue to help her grow, not only physically, but also in her faith. So we're thankful for that. In these moments, we're going to go ahead and have the Lord's Prayer when we think about all the good that the Lord is doing in us, around us, and in front of us. Would you please join me in this moment when Jesus responds, it's inspired in Scripture, of how we should pray when we gather together. Let us say together as our tradition, in one body and one voice, this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
I think we can call our choir this morning the Faithful Remnant. I don't think so. This year we've ever sung with less than eight. And for those of you not here in the sanctuary with us, there are five of us brave singers up in the choir loft. When I could see our numbers were so few, I didn't know whether we'd still be able to sing the anthem that I was hoping to sing for today. You see the name of it in your bulletin called Remember His Love. I picked this anthem out because it deals with communion. It's a communion anthem. Today is the first Sunday that we do have communion, but it had the word love in its title. And I like to think of February as the month of love, because right in the middle of the month is Valentine's Day. So when I pulled it out and looked at the words, I thought, yeah, that looks okay. And then I looked at the key signature, because we have a keyboard person who has to accompany us. I don't want to embarrass you, but I had Tina take it home to see if it was playable, because it starts out being written in 6 flats. For those of you who are keyboard, who play instruments, that know that means changing every note but one that you're used to playing. She brought it back and she said, yes, it's doable. And so with the person saying it was doable, and as we went downstairs, we decided maybe it was doable with 5 of us singing it. It won't sound as full as if we had more, but we didn't have to throw an anthem in place of it. So, and I thought the children's scripture applies to us really well today. When we're afraid, we will trust in the Lord, that our anthem will come across well. Thank you.
What you
Right. We're thankful for that piece that was picked out for us today. And thank you for your faithfulness as the choir finds their way to their seats. It's interesting in those moments that we've talked together as we've gathered together in worship. I know over a couple of recent weeks, but during some of our years together, has been that moment of wanting and desiring to always learn and deepen our faith. But a lot of why we gather together in fellowship and worship is to simply make sure we prevent against forgetting, right? It's to simply do that, is to remember. And it's interesting that when we prepare for communion a bit later in the service, that we remember our Wesleyan heritage, and that John Wesley was very adamant that the Methodists follow and take communion as often as they gather together. And it's even noted several times in Wesley's journal that throughout his trips, especially when he was going from town to town circuiting, that he would take communion 7 or 8 times a day. It's interesting. And it's in those moments when you think to yourself, amongst the time of taking that several times a day, for weeks and months and years on end, that John Wesley would still say it was so impacting every time that he took of the elements because of exactly what the choir said, to remember and be fed. That even if when we take communion today, come 3 o'clock, we need to remember that outpouring of love of Christ in our life. And that would never leave us wanting, but always leave us full. We're thankful for that message from the choir today, remember his love. Now, this week, our scripture is going to come from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. And this comes from Paul's response to some questions and some inquiries from the church in Corinth. So, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 13. And this has a lot to do with warnings. And as you follow along in the scripture when I'm reading that about to, you'll see there are a couple of things when Paul wants us to remember, and some of the wants us to remember, wants the people to remember through the letter then, as well as us today, is sort of in a parental way. How many times have you maybe either gotten after when you were a young one or gotten after young ones yourself that you remind them to do something or you remind them of something, and it's not the first time that you've ever made that request? Have you ever been there that sometimes it's like 7 or 8 times, right? You might use the phrase, how many times have I told you? And it's not usually a calm, you know, conversation. But in those moments, we remember, why do we care so much, or why did our parents care so much to keep reminding us of those things? It was because usually it was something that would mean either our danger or unsafety, or it would mean to hurt us, or else we were going to have to incur wrath and be punished later. So maybe the parents are giving us a heads up. We're not going to have to enforce anything if you just do this. And so here's this moment when Paul's reminding us of some of the warnings that seem to sneak up or come right in front of in Israel's history. And so would you follow along in that moment of not being the first or the second or third time you've heard of these things, but why we need not forget and why there's a reason for this warning in a parental way. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and passed through the sea, verse 2, and all were baptized into Moses in the same cloud and in the same sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they all drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Verse 5. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some have become. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Verse 8. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some did, and 23,000 fell in one single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. And verse 11, these things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the end of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. Finally, in verse 13, Paul says, no testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with that testing, he will also provide a way out so that you will be able to endure it. Now, I wanted to take a look at these last couple of verses again, because that's where we'll hang most of the message today. Verse 11 to 13, I'm going to read those again. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the end of ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you don't fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with that testing, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. Some of us have had a conversation or a circumstance in our life, and I know personally some of us have even had this very conversation I'm about to bring up, is we've had a moment of trial or of testing, and we found ourselves not questioning the authority or questioning the presence of God, but find ourselves questioning the why. And that's still a healthy thing, isn't it? You want to seek why. It's not because you think, well, if I know the answer of why this is happening, it's going to make everything better. No, it's still going to be a trial in a spot to walk in, but we just want to try to understand, what are we supposed to get out of this, you know, or what are we supposed to take from that? And that's okay. And in those moments, sometimes it's common for us in our conversation, especially as being faithful and wanting to be confident and positive, you know, and self-sufficient, that we sometimes say the phrase or something similar to, well, God will not put me through anything that I can't handle. Does that make sense? Or some variation of that, you know, that if God brings you to it, then God will lead you through it, kind of that kind of thing. That I will never have to endure something that I can't face. And so it's in this moment, however we phrase that, that over the last few years, it seems in that moment that there was this great overwhelming moment to say yes and no. In Scripture here, and that's probably where a lot of that saying comes from in so many words, that it says no testing will overtake you because God is faithful and will not let you be tested beyond your strength. And so we think, well, if it's on my plate, if a situation is hitting me, then I clearly have the strength to get through it. I just have to endure. And part of that is true, but at the same time, what's the other part of that phrase that should be hitting us? Not so much just that when anything happens, well, it's not more than I can bear. How many of you have been literally in a pool of tears and it doesn't really feel like you're bearing much of anything, right? Would you agree there's some times that we can say that, but we're not really bearing much of anything. We're just kind of at the mercy of what happens on there. And it's interesting in this moment because the second part of this scripture says, but with that testing will also provide a way out. So it's not saying that we are created with this innate strength that we can handle any situation or circumstance that comes upon us, but it's that when we turn to God, because where is it we get our strength, right? We say it all the time in here. Where do we go for our reserve of strength? We go seeking Christ for that strength, right? We don't walk in our own world on our own abilities. We turn to God, right? We see how the Holy Spirit will fill us and prepare us. So in this moment, it's yes, you will have the strength to do that, but the strength won't come from inside Matt Osborne. It'll come from the strength that comes from the Lord that will overcome anything, because most things are beyond Matt Osborne, just like most things are really beyond us, and we need to walk in the Lord's confidence and strength. But in this moment, it says, but the testing will also provide a way out so that you might be able to endure it. It didn't say that there will be an easy solution to the testing or the time that you'll have to endure. These trials, they might go on for a long time. It might seem overwhelming for a long time. And it's that moment of, are we prepared to embrace, when we call out to God, what that solution or help is? Because sometimes, and I'd ask us to kind of flip back in our memories if we're not going through it right now, he will provide a way out that you may be able to endure it. It doesn't mean that there will be an express lane solution. It doesn't mean that if you're hurt or you're wounded, that you're not still going to need the first aid kit. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that it's just going to be okay and it's going to be as if nothing happened and you're not going to be bruised. But it does say that the Lord will provide a way for us to endure, and that will come from God. And my dear friends, I would ask, when we call out to God in these moments of trial and testing and temptation, when endurance seems like the furthest thing from us, and we rely on the strength of Christ, will we be looking for a provision of a way out, even if it's not necessarily what we want or what our idea is? And it's interesting because in here, there were several things, and Paul kind of puts this, I don't want to say hodgepodge, but puts this very loose scenario and circumstance of the faithful people of Israel walking through the wilderness, and all these times that if they weren't ready to endure and prepare for this, we kind of saw them walking astray, didn't they? They got distracted by a few things. And here's that moment where Paul, in this parental love moment, is responding to the church that while I can't be there in person, right? This is coming as a letter, remember? So it's like, while I can't be there in person, here's some instruction for how you should go. Not to test Christ. Not to call out in a way where we can still question, you know, what are we supposed to be gaining from here? How are we supposed to be there? What's supposed to be our response? The kind of questioning Paul's talking about is don't test Christ to find out if Christ is faithful. Because just as the choir sang before us, and just as it is on most of our altar or communion tables, is do this in remembrance of me. It's as often as we come together, we remind ourselves when we prepare to take the elements together that we're reminded of God's faithfulness. Even if it's been a few weeks since we took that together. Even if it's only been a day since we've taken it. To do so often remembering. Paul is giving warning to the people here in the church in Corinth, just like we're gathering this right now, is to not let ourselves become distracted in our walk, especially in the time when it might be difficult to continue our faithfulness. Any of you ever had a Charlie horse or some type of pain, you know, in your legs or your arm? It comes very daunting to stand up, doesn't it, when you have something going on with your legs? I'll even say in one of those moments when I heard, well, it didn't really happen to me, but Melissa's been known to watch TV for a long period of time and her foot falls asleep. If you've ever had anyone like that in your house. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, yeah, don't tell her I said that. So, but you know how sometimes when we stay in a position for a certain period of time, sometimes our limbs will fall asleep, and it's one of those moments where if you ever walked on that, it feels kind of numb, right? Like you don't feel quite confident in it, right? I mean, you're well aware, my foot's on here, but there's something about it that makes you think, is it going to support me, right? Because it doesn't feel like it normally does. In this moment of endurance, I'm asking my body to do something it's kind of not prepared to do. I know it's capable of, but it's not prepared to do. And in those moments, I kind of wonder, are that times when we can be distracted, or those times when we would put off doing something that we should do in a way to honor Christ in our spiritual lives because it doesn't quite feel the way it used to. Or maybe it feels a little numb because we've relaxed certain parts of our lives and our spiritual disciplines. And it's those moments when, dear friends, I would ask we remember some of these warnings that Paul has because they would be there for us too. Now, we've had the sign-up sheets going around. What is a great tradition in the life of Sandusky First is to have this prayer vigil. Some people might, and I guess in the time of my life, I'll admit I was probably a little intimidated by a half hour of prayer, like 30 minutes. Just me? How will I do that without falling asleep? Be honest, friends, how am I going to do that without falling asleep? Because I got to close my eyes the whole time, right? I mean, Linda, if we're praying, right, we got to have our eyes closed the whole time because that's the only right way to pray, right? No, we can have our eyes open, but it's just that moment of if our prayer life is sort of like that fall asleep limb, we're not sure if we can trust it. Or what will happen if maybe we're going through a time of endurance and we're struggling, maybe should we sign up, should we not sign up? What will the Lord do if I submit 30 minutes? I say, for this 30 minutes, God, you can have me. For this time in prayer, do what you will. Silence my mind if it needs to be silenced. Slow me down in this moment. If you move sort of as fast as I do, kind of from one thing to the next, 30 minutes of stillness, it's a struggle to come by sometimes at one point. But when you force yourself to do it, 5 minutes it takes to settle down. So you're really only getting 25 minutes. But my dear friends, when we understand that we gather together for any period of time and allow the Lord to work in and through us for that time set aside, the Lord will reveal things to us that he's been calling to us, that he's put on our hearts. And for whatever reason, we might not hear it. We might be too busy to see it. And I would ask if we could remember again that lazy limb or that moment where it feels a little numb. Whether you decide to sign up for the vigil or not, still I would ask you to be in prayer over the entire vigil, over our entire Lenten season, over our entire church, for the season in which we walk, right? One of our favorite songs that's requested so many times, and I hope I don't step on your toes here, Karen, because you might have a great explanation for this, but when we're talking about songs and some of those stories, it's this the hymn of promise, right? We always talk about that stuff outside isn't going to last forever, you know, and that cold and that staying inside and bundling up. There are going to be seasons of spring of beauty coming from what the snow and the cold has literally killed. There will be a moment of rebirth. My dear friends, it might not seem like it because we're at yet another Super Bowl when there's snow on the ground, and but we are very close to spring. We are very close to spring. What things will the Lord reveal to us if we submit ourselves and we don't find ourselves distracted as the people of Israel were? The people of Israel were asked to endure many years. The people of Israel were asked to endure the unknown. They were asked to endure uncomfortability. Even though they were together, would you still agree that if you were in the wilderness that long, you could still feel a little isolated? Now, the great theologian Bon Jovi comes to me today because there is a song that I'm not thinking of right now what the title of it was, A Bed of Roses. But he said that sometimes just because I'm not alone doesn't mean I'm not lonely. Just because I'm not alone doesn't mean I'm not lonely. My dear friends, have you ever been in that place? And again, I'm trying to have us have the imagery of the people of Israel. They weren't alone. But I wonder how many of them felt isolated or lonely. And I'd like to ask you, just as I ask myself, remember language, I know phrasing, us, but to ask you simply, are you walking through today that you're not alone? I mean, look around, you're not alone, right? But are you feeling lonely today? Are you feeling isolated today? Know that if you are feeling that way, you are loved. And I'm confident that if anyone knew what was going on in your life in this church, that we would be the church and surround you. But I know that might be uncomfortable. But in this moment, Paul's reminding us, even in that time of isolation and struggle, don't challenge Christ, but simply know that Christ has already been broken for you. Don't question Christ's love and commitment for you because Christ's blood has already been poured out for you. If you might walk through life today or this season and think that maybe you're forgotten about, remember that God knew you before you were even born. And when we prepare to take communion today, if that's you, are feeling a bit beat up and bruised or isolated, even amongst people around, come to the table and remember that your salvation has already been bought and paid for. That you will never be able to spend up the amount of grace that has been laid in front of you. The world will know who we are when we are stained by the blood of Christ. What does that mean, to be stained by the blood of Christ? That means we've submitted our lives, yielded our own desires, and said, Christ, would you wash over me? Wash it away so maybe I might not even recognize myself anymore. Or maybe I do, but something is different. My dear friends, no matter what season that we are walking through, whether it's a season of trial or it's just a season of joy, we do not walk alone in the lonely times, and we do not walk alone in the times of joy. We find out how to celebrate together. We've gathered around this sanctuary many times for prayer. We've lifted up prayer requests. And just as we are about to do after the service, we are gathering together in a time of fellowship to celebrate what? To celebrate birthdays, right? To celebrate and be thankful for those moments in our life, to fellowship and celebrate together, to lift each other up as individuals of faith when we gather together as the church. Because it's important that not only do you support each other when we're having to endure something, But we celebrate the fullness of life when we fellowship together. What that means, my dear friends, is that we come here as individuals, but we really are bonded together in the life of the church. As we prepare for our communion table today, we would be reminded in this moment, do this in remembrance of me. To remember those words of our faithful five in our choir today. That when we take this meal, we will not only be full and be fed, but we will remember that we are loved. That we are loved beyond any descriptive words. That we are loved beyond any comprehension of the magnitude of that love that poured out from the cross. Every spring, we walk through our Lent season together, and eventually we come upon Resurrection Sunday and Easter. Spring is coming. For those of you Game of Thrones fans who are sick of hearing winter's coming, spring is coming. What newness, what resurrection, what new life does God have for us in here and for the life of this church? My dear friends, when we gather together in the name of Christ, we remember that on a night when Jesus was to be betrayed, Jesus knew who his betrayer was. Jesus knew the darkness that was coming. But Jesus didn't walk through that last day with a fallen asleep spirit. Jesus took that time to say, while we are gathered together, I want to remind you with this meal, not God's covenant of the past, but God's covenant of the future. God's deliverance once and for all. Because on the night Jesus was betrayed, when there was isolation all around him, Jesus sat amongst those that he loved, and he asked for the bread of the meal to be blessed. And when God had blessed the bread, he broke it in front of them. It became different when Jesus said, the bread that is broken before you now represents my body that will be broken for you. I will be bruised and broken and in pain because the depths of my love will not protect myself from taking your place. I will endure the worst that this world has to offer, and I will do it for you. Each and every time you come to this table, would you know that out of love I have been broken for you? And when you take of this bread, remember I didn't do it in vain. I did it because I love you. Jesus also raised the cup of suffering. And though they would know the story well, they had no idea what Christ was about to suffer and endure for them and for us. But Jesus then raised the cup of suffering before it became the cup of salvation. And he asked for God's blessing on it. And when the blessing was received upon it, Jesus offered this cup to those that he loved, just as this cup is being offered to us today, so that we would remember and not forget what Christ was about to endure. In that moment, it was, what was Jesus going to do? Today is what Jesus has already done. This cup of suffering is the blood poured out of Jesus, the covenant promise that flowed from the cross and stained the ground, just as it stains our souls today. Would you take the cup of salvation today, remembering that Jesus endured a pouring out of life? His breath was counted and grew faint, and each and every one of them was more of a commitment to us of his love. Would we come today to the table and be stained by the cup? Jesus' covenant promise that as often as we come to the table, that we would drink deep in the cup of salvation and realize the gifts of Christ, of deliverance. You see, God led the people of Israel in the wilderness to the promised land. And then the Passover meal would remind us of God's deliverance. But this is the once and for all. This is the table that will never leave us walking away hungry. The choir anthem was so perfect for today. Linda, you hit it right on the head. Would we come today and be full as we remember God's love has no limits? Could I ask our communion stewards to come forward that have been chosen today? prepare for us. I wanted to let you know, as the communion stewards come forward, that is with great joy that in United Methodist Church that we celebrate. Carrie, I'll have you go with Linda over here. That in the Methodist Church, there is a practice of open table. And what that means, that if you're visiting with us today, or you've been with us for a long time, or whether you're a member or not, the table is open in this place. And so if you find yourself in this place, to rededicate, to reaccept, to remember the elements that are here before us, that you are invited when the ushers dismiss you to come forward. And if you can't, for whatever reason, please let the usher know and we will bring the elements to you. Let no barrier stand in between of us remembering and dedicating ourselves today to the love that has been poured forth from the Savior of this world. My dear friends, the communion table is now open. My dear friends, at this moment, I wanted to share with you this scripture that leaps off the page, that comes as inspiration from the song that we've sung together today. Verse 16, further on in chapter 10, says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not the sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, and we will all partake in one body together. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup away from it. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and become away from it together. Let we be strong together as we've taken the table." Let's ask our ushers to come forward today as we realize that we are stronger together than we are individually. So let us give individually of our gifts and blessing and tithes and offering so that the Lord's work will be complete. Lord, in the shadow of the cross, we lay these gifts and ask that you would bless them through all the ministry that they would suffice. Lord, bless the houses from which they came and multiply their uses so that you would be glorified and the good news would be on the feet and the hands and fresh on the lips of all who would receive it. In Christ's powerful name we pray, amen. Let us sing together this song of our faith, 344, Lord, you have come to the lakeshore. Number 344, Lord, you have come to the lakeshore. My dear friends, as we come together for this sending, for this blessing, let it be that our hearts and our minds and our souls would be strengthened by the power of God, that our strengths, our minds, and our souls would not be distracted by the things or conditions or situations of this world, but know that we are purchased at a high price, that Christ died so that we would have life forever and always. And it wouldn't just be a meager life of peasants, but it would be one of riches and royalty. It would be life everlasting to the full. Could we go today searching for the one who called us by name, the one who smiled while saying it? Could we search where he wants us to go? And could we go that with no fear, by the power of the Father, and the power of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit? Lead us onward to that place. Amen. And before we start, real quick, because I know your hands are right on the key, because we are going to be dismissing and celebrated downstairs for our fellowship time, can we just have a brief moment of prayer for the grace and the blessing for our time downstairs? Almighty God, you have prepared a place downstairs, and you've worked through hands and feet to literally prepare that place downstairs. Lord, we ask for your blessing in that fellowship to nourish the food for our bodies and to send well those that can't stay. Lord, would your grace be amongst us in that time of fellowship and celebrating those birthdays? We're so thankful to be members in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.